Well, I just had to reinstall everything on the computer this evening, and that includes PalTalk, my Bible study software, and, well, those are the main ones that I needed tonight, so the Lord was with me, and I got them installed without having a heart attack. I thank y'all for being here. It's been a fantastic day here in the South. It's not raining, but the Lord blesses us even in the rain. We're still blessed in the rain. And as I was saying, I've been having computer issues for the past week. I had to have this computer I'm speaking on now rebuilt, and it was having some issues that I thought was the motherboard, but come to be, it's just the Vista that was bogging it down and creating issues with the sound card and video card and everything else. And I was able to get that corrected and got this computer back to me today at lunchtime. Praise the Lord, because my laptop that I was going to speak on tonight has came down with the Trojan that I think I picked up when I was in Florida. It comes up with some kind of malicious software saying that I have done something illegal against the United States, and I have downloaded child pornography on it, and I have to go to the nearest ATM and get $300 and insert it into my computer. So, for people that are not aware, I'm a lot of people that would lose a lot of money when they see information like that, and it's just, there's no telling how many people are milked out of hundreds of thousands of dollars thinking that they're doing something because they see a federal government logo on top of something on their computer, so they just run and do what they think they need to do to correct it. But I'll be taking this laptop to my computer guru and get it checked out now, because I've done tried to take it off a couple of times, and apparently it's a bigger Trojan than I can handle. But anyway, let's get into God's Word. And it better not be toast, Gary. This thing ain't but 2 years old. But let's get into God's Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day, and Lord, for all the blessing, dear Lord, that we have that's in it, and Lord, those especially that came from you. You know, when we look around, we know that they all came from you. But Lord, we're thankful for what you did for us from before the foundation of the world. And we're thankful for those things you're doing now, and we're thankful for that you did for us on the cross. And Lord, we're also so thankful for that you're going to do for us in the future day, in the appearing. And Lord, as I go into this study to help administer the Word to anyone who doesn't understand the preparation of the Gospel of Peace, Lord, as I go into this Word, I hope that there's just one person, whether they're online here or listening in at a later date. Lord, I ask that this can lead, guide, or direct them in the path that you would have them to go, to help them to understand Scripture more rightly divided. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, guys, I'm still in my study of the armor of God, and I'll be focusing on 6:15 tonight, and to get up to pace, I'll read 11 through 15 to kind of bring into my study that I'm going to be talking about tonight. And 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And notice it's in the evil day that you put on, take unto you, put on the old armor of God. In 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins, your deepest part of your innards, girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and every one of these contains Christ. And 6:15. Yeah, I hope you're recording because my recorder's, like I said, it's shot. In 6:15, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, in the interlinear it says, having shod the feet with the preparation of the glad tidings of peace. Was the gospel is the glad tidings, the good message, and in 6:11, why do we put this on? It's to stand against the wiles of the devil. This shod is the Greek form hupodio. It's from the Strong's Greek Dictionary, number 5259, and it's to bind under one's feet. An example, to put on shoes or sandals, to bind on. If you notice, this is the only part of your body that you can bind on, that you can shod, is for the feet. And the feet, you could say it's the foundation of the body. The feet is in contact with the earth. So when we're standing against the wiles of the devil, we need to have firm footing. We need to have on the shoes of the gospel of peace in more ways than one. We need to, as I read from 11 to 15, there's five times the form, the word is either stand or stand therefore or having your feet shod. And that's really important because for us to stand, the man whose feet are well shod fears, you know, we don't fear any road, but goes through thick and thin, foul or fair, stones or straws, to the body member that is well shod. While the barefooted man, on the other hand, stumbles and just can't get through the direction they need to go. We're to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, able to go out smilingly to the greatest sufferings that are, or can be on the way towards them and say to them, as once Christ did to those that came with swords and staves to attack him. Whom you see. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is what Paul says in Romans 5:1. If the feet or the legs are wounded, if you're in battle and they get wounded, a man can neither stand nor resist his foe. He can't pursue, nor can he run. The feet and the legs are very important into the warfare that we have against the evil one, against world rulers, even today. His feet may signify the principles on which he acts. Several professions require you to wear special kinds of shoes, whether it's sports or mountain climbing. The body member is required to wear shoes that are becoming of Christ. We're to wear shoes that are peaceful. When looking at the shoes and shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that entails mostly our walk. And it seems like I've spoken on walk quite a few times, my past few studies. But if I have to speak on it every time, if it makes me stronger, then I thank God for that. You know, sometimes I need to be told probably 1,000 times how I should act or how I should walk, because I'm presenting myself as the body of Christ. When I speak to someone wherever I am and they ask me what church I go to, I tell them I'm a member of the church, the body of Christ. And I'm representative of that. So my actions, my walk, determines how people see me. In Philippians 3:16-18, it's mentioned three times. In 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, the apostle, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of Christ. The people that I've come to be associated with in the body, we all have known of people in the past that claim to be members of the body, but yet they're no longer around. They no longer follow the word that is proclaimed by God, rightly divided. They're either teaching another doctrine or following another belief from another dead person that they feel more comfortable with his word. It's our duty, it's our job to take God's word rightly divided and follow it. That's our walk. That is just part of our walk. In Ephesians, there's six times the word is used. In 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, urge you, strongly desire that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Ephesians 4:17. This I say and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love, as Christ has loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In 5:8 here he's saying that at one time, generations ago, for us, that's generations ago, okay? For Paul, it is maybe a few days ago. At this time, Paul is telling these people, the believers that this letter is written to in Ephesus, that you were in darkness, but now you are in the light. They had no hope. For us, it was people generations and generations ago. We have ancestors that were lost, had no hope whatsoever, no matter what they did. There was no way they could receive life. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Understanding God's Word. When we understand God's Word, we're walking wise. We're walking the walk that God, that Paul expects us to walk, that Christ expects us to walk. And then in Colossians, there's three more. Colossians 1:10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful. When we're fruitful, we're actually bringing other people into the knowledge of the truth. That's being fruitful. That's bringing more people. Good night, Gary. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And then we get into the preparation. And 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation. That is hetomasio. And this is the only place that it's used. It's preparation or readiness. It's to make ready. And it's the preparation arising from the gospel of peace. What this preparation is will best appear by considering the part of it it's designed for, and that's the foot. The only member of the body to be shod, and the piece of armor it is compared to, and that's the shoulder, the soldier's shoe, which is, if right, to be of the strongest make, being not so much intended for finery as defense, and that so necessary that for want of it alone, the soldier in some cases is disabled for service, as when he is called to march for on hard ways, and those may be laid about with sharp stones, or that they may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, as in verse 11. How long can you go, if not shod, without wounding or foundering against the devil? How long can you go, if not shod, for real, if you were to walk through briars or walk down a road when it's 110 degrees outside? You're not going very far at all unless your feet are prepared for the road that you're to travail. In 1 Timothy 4:4-13, Paul is instructing Timothy. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And my verse I'm looking for is in 12. I'm sorry. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. To exercise, this is the preparation. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe. Specifically of those that believe. Here is believe. Belief is another foundational character that the body member has. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine, being prepared. In Romans 10:10-16, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessing is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Are you a preacher? I ask this question. Are you a... Because I could probably ask that same question to people in the barbershop, and every one of them will say, no, there is no way I'm a preacher. You have to be ordained by a church to be a preacher. When you proclaim God's word that we do on a study-by-study basis, Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, in every conference, anytime you speak to a neighbor, a friend, co-worker, if you are delivering God's word, you're a preacher, whether you like it or not. Okay? In 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as I saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? This is quoted from Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah is one of Paul's favorite references that he goes back to. It seems like he's using Isaiah in practically every book several times. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Sounds familiar, don't it? That publishes peace. That bringeth good tidings of good. That publishes salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And then we have gospel. The gospel of good news. A good message. The gospel is euangelo. Don't fall out, Mikey, okay? Just be patient for a second. Euangelion. There we go. Euangelion. That's about as close as you're going to get, brother. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. We're going to see some reconciliation. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us, who has atoned, who has restored, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. This is a prior dispensation, but it's very important to the gospel. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Christ was made sin for us. Christ took upon the sin of the world. Christ took upon your sin. And Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God in Christ. In Colossians 1:20 to 22, the gospel of good news. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, how he reconciled in his body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the gospel of good news, brothers. We're holy and unblameable in his sight because he's already taken the sins of the world. It brings the joyful tidings of peace concluded between God and man by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our head. According to the CB note, it says pieces of pieces, and I don't mean parts of pieces, like P-I-E-C-E-S, of pieces, but it's pieces of pieces. P-E-A-C-E-S of P-E-A-C-E. So this is different kinds of peace that it's saying here. Gospel of peace. Or many times to use peace in many instances that body members run into on a daily basis. That is to understand peace between God and man. And this is Ephesians 6:15, Gary. In the CB notes, it says pieces of peace, where it shows gospel of peace. Peace between God and man is one. And then you have the peace that Paul exhorts in his gospel, the peace between us as believers, the body of Christ, and others, people that we run into on a daily basis, the world. We're to walk in peace. Christ walked peace. Paul started out as a Pharisee. How much peace did he walk? It's kind of funny. The Pharisees were supposed to be the leaders of the Christian community, but they were the ones that were killing, maiming, locking people up. And then Paul was converted, and then he saw what peace really was. Peace between God and man. A beautiful testimony, a beautiful witness, is in Ephesians 2. This is truth for today. I'm going to read 2:1-19. This is peace between God and man. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You see there? At one time. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, reconciled us, brought us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We can't do it ourselves. This is a gift of God. Not of works. Because if it was, then we could brag about it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, those are the Jews, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Excuse me. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, Christ. Peace, gospel of peace. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. This is peace between God and man right here. The middle wall that separated man and God has been broken down. Now, by Christ, by believing in Christ, we are in one communion with God through Christ. In 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man. What does this one new man do? Making peace. Christ made peace through one new man. Our walk is to walk with the gospel of peace as one new man in Christ. For through Him, and came preach peace to them, to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Thank God. That was to put peace between God and man. Okay? Now let's look at the peace between man and man, or the peace between body members and man. In 1 Timothy 5:21, Paul is given a charge. He's given orders. I charge thee, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without referring one before the other, and doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Okay, it means you can't go get mad hitting on nobody. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. I'm seeing a walk here that we're supposed to be doing. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, we know this is for Timothy, and he was timid, so apparently he needed a little wine to keep his stomach settled. That don't mean we're to get out here and drink a quart of vodka and just have a good old time. In 24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. Are you seeing a walk here? Are you seeing where the footing goes? Likewise, also good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are counterwise otherwise cannot be hid. There's body members out there that are not exactly what they should in the past, in the present, and in the future. Yes, we're forgiven, but God knows what we're doing because it's going to go before us. And it's going to affect something at some point. We are going to be with Christ at the appearing. But I'm sure there's going to be charges to be made against us for not walking a complete and peaceful walk at all times. Peace with the Word and all its teachings. Peace with one's inner self. Conscience, fears, desires. Peace with brethren in the church and the family. Peace with all mankind. In Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And this is an old one in Proverbs 11:12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. The peace which God, the gospel, brings and speaks to the heart will make the creature ready to wade through any trial or trouble that meets him in his Christian daily course. The gospel of peace, it brings the joyful tidings of peace concluded between God and man by the blood of Jesus. In 1 Timothy 12:6, gospel of peace. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I can be saying that myself. I am saying that myself. I thank God found me faithful enough to put me in his ministry. Who went before him? Or I wasn't that. But Paul saying that he was, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. As I've heard said before, Paul never forgave himself for the stoning that he gave Stephen, that he was witness to, that he encouraged, that he probably brought on to Stephen. In 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. How important, here's a question, how important is it for the body member to believe and follow the Word of God and walk peacefully and faithfully? Let's just look at another dispensation for 1 second on that answer. I mean, I just basically told or preached how we should walk as to Paul's writings. But let's look in Luke 12:48. How important is it for body members to believe and follow the Word of God and walk peacefully and faithfully? 12:48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Here we go. For For unto whomsoever much is given, and that given there is committed, of him shall much be required. Who's saying this? This is our Lord. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Of all the prior generations before us, who had the best blessings? We all know the answer to that. We have a commitment, and our commitment is to walk peaceably. I find it very hard when I'm behind the wheel, but we are admonished. We're admonished to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The pieces of peace, according to the appendixes, or the CB notes, or multiple pieces. Peace, but understand the peace between God and man. And know that it's there because of Christ. Breaking down the middle wall of partition. And to know that we have peace with God. And we're admonished to walk peacefully with other fellow saints and other people who might not even be believers yet. In Colossians 3, 1-4, if ye that be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. It'll help you walk a lot. It'll help you walk a lot more peaceful, brother. Because it helps me. Because you know what? Because your debt and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And one more verse and I'll be done. Colossians 3, 14-17. Above all these things, put on charity. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Ye are called in one body. Ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this message. Lord, I ask that you be with all those that are on the hearts of the believers, the body members. We ask that you search our hearts. If we need for you to help us walk a peaceful walk, Lord, just jump right in and do what you need to do. For Lord, we thank you for what you've done on that cross. for that reconciliation that you did for us. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.